Okay, sorry I missed the past couple of days. Everybody needs a vacation once in a while. But of course, there's no vacation from the daf, so we've been keeping up with the dafyomi, and today's daf is Kuf Nun Ches, Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Ches. We are going to start from the top of Daf Kuf Nun Ches Amid Aleph, the Mishnah. Kuf Nun Ches Amid Aleph says the Mishnah, Nafal Habayis Alav V'Al Ishto. So we're continuing in this series of Mishnayos that we didn't have a chance to learn together, but a series of Mishnayos relating to two people dying in the same place, and we don't know who died first. And because we don't know who died first, a dispute arises as to who receives Yerusha, because the two people are relatives and one would Yarshin the other. So whose Yarshim really get all of the estate? So in this particular case, we're talking about a bias that falls, a love of Yalishto, on a man and his wife. So, and Rashbam adds in a critical point, Ve'ein la banim mimenu. There are no children that she has from him. Since she does not have any children from him, so it's not just an easy case where you give it to their children, because their children Yarshin both of them, both the husband and the wife, so there are no such children to speak of, and therefore it's not going to be so open and shut, it's not going to be so easy. Now, why does he say that she has no children from him? Because what the Rashbam means to say over here is, even if she did have children from him, still there would be room to be mistapek if he also had children from an isha acheres. What if he had children from he had children with this woman, and he also had children with another woman? So then the halach would be that if the woman would die first, maybe the children from the other woman would also receive the Yerusha. And if the husband died first, so then only the woman's children would receive the Yerusha. Nevertheless, the Banim Shela are Yarshim Vadai. Her children are Vadai Yarshim. His children are Safek Yarshim. The Halacha is Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. So if you have Safek Yarshim and Vadai Yarshim, meaning her children are for sure, her children from him are going to be the Vadai Yarshim, his children from anyone else are only Safek Yarshim, the Halacha would be Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai, and the Vadai Yarshim would Yarshin the estate. So that would be the Halacha. The Rashash points out that according to Tosfos, even if he had Banim, even if he had children from Isha Acheres, from another woman, that would not be called Safek and Vadai. Because any time the Vadai is only a Vadai when you're Mitzaref, another tzad, that these other guy would be Yoresh also, meaning he's only a Vadai in the sense that he would Vadai receive some Yerusha. He either receives everything, or he receives part of Yerusha. Well, that's not called a Safek and a Vadai. We don't say Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai in that case. Only when a person is a Vadai Gamur, and the second guy is a Safek Gamur, do we say Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. But either way, let's just see the halacha in our Mishnah. Kuf Nun Ches Amud Aleph at the top, says the Mishnah, Nafal Habayis Alav V'Yalishto. A house falls in on a man and on his wife. Yarshe HaBaal Omrim. So the man's Yarshim say, Isha Mesa Rishon, that the woman died first. Why do they want Vacharkach Mesa Baal? And then the husband died. Why do they want the woman to have died first? Because if the woman died first, the husband inherits her, certainly doesn't owe her anything, doesn't owe her a ksuba or anything, but he inherits her, and therefore it was all his money. And then when he died, they're going to yarshin him, so they're going to get all the money. Yarsha Isha Omrim, obviously the yarshim of the woman will say, no, how do you know? Maybe Baal Mes Rishon, Vacharkach Mesa Isha. Maybe the husband died first and then the woman died. So, and therefore, when the husband died, so the woman is entitled to her ksuba and she yarshins the husband, and then the woman died, and when she died, we yarshin everything that she has. So what do you do with all this money? Beis Shammai Yomrim Yechloku. Beis Shammai says, what do you do with the money? You split the money. What else would you do with it? It's Mamun Amutal B'Safek, and therefore, Cholkin. Now, in reality, the Gemara, the Mishnah, is going to have to deal with three different levels of money, three different categories of money. And the Rashbam identifies all three categories of money. If you look at Rashbam on the first skinny line, Nichsei Tzon Barzel, says Rashbam, V'hi nedunya dahan alas lei v'nichtva b'ksuba. There's what we call the nedunya, the dowry that's written into the ksuba, the Nichsei Tzon Barzel, that's brought into the marriage. And then you have Umana Masayim v'tosefes, you have the actual money that the husband owes the wife to pay for the ksuba, presuming that the husband dies first. Right, if the wife dies first, then obviously there's no ksuba money. And then v'nichsei melug shala. You also have the nichsei melug. So you have the tzon barzel, the ksuba money, and the nichsei melug. So Beis Shammai just said yachloku. Sounds like across the board. Whatever it is, it's all mamonim with the safek. We split it all. Now Beis Hillel omrim. There are several ways to read the shitas Beis Hillel in the Rishonim. We're going to read it the way the Rashba Ritva, that whole school of Rishonim, reads it. Beis Hillel omrim. He says, let's take a look at each of the three types of nechassim. Nechassim b'cheskasan. When you're going to be talking about the nechsei tzon barzel, so then that's going to remain b'cheskasan. That's going to remain in the chazakah of who has it. Now, what does that mean, b'cheskasan? Who is muchzak in the nechsei tzon barzel? Who do we consider the muchzak in the nechsei tzon barzel? So the Gemara is going to have a dispute about what that means, what b'cheskasan means. Right? The Rashbam points out, b'gemar mefarish b'cheskas mi. The Gemara's discussion is going to be right away. What do you mean, b'cheskasan? B'cheskas who do we assume is the nechsei tzon barzel? But that's number one. Number two, ksuba, when it comes to the manamasayim tosefes of the ksuba, b'cheskas yorshei abal, that the husband's inheritors are going to receive. And nechassim ha-nechnasin v'yotz nima, the nechsei melug, b'cheskas yorshei av, that the yorshei av are going to receive the yorshim of the woman's father, because that's nechassim that came from her father. They're considered to be muchzuk in it, and that goes to her family, to her side of the family. So it also seems somewhat split, right? When it comes to the ksuba, husband's family. When it comes to the nechsei melug, wife's family. When it comes to the nechsei tzon barzel, we're not sure what it means. It just says, Beis Hillel holds b'cheska son. We don't exactly know what that means. Says Tosfos, tap Tosfos, nafal of the al ishto, Beis Hillel nechassim b'cheska son. Beis Hillel says that the nechassim stay in their chazaka. So we don't know exactly what that means, but says Tosfos, tema. Let's assume for a minute, like the sheet in the Gemara, that b'cheskas son means the yorshei ha'isha get the nechsei tzon barzel. So frekt Tosos, if that were the case, we have something that we say is b'cheskas yorshei ha'isha in the Mishnah. We said nechsei meluga b'cheskas yorshei ha'isha. So instead of dividing it into three separate halachos, that nichsei son barzel b'cheskasan, ksuba yorshei abal, nichsei melug yorshei isha. If in fact the nichsei son barzel b'cheskas yorshei isha, that's what b'cheskasan means, couldn't we have put it together with nichsei melug? Couldn't we have said that that ksuba isha goes to the yorshei abal and nichsei melug, number one, ksuba isha goes to yorshei abal. Number two, Nichsei Tzon Barzel and Nichsei Melug go to the Yorshei Isha. Wouldn't that have been a fine way to say it? Why do we have to divide it into three separate halachos? It's really two halachos. There's the Ksuba, and then there's the Nichsei Melug / Nichsei Tzon Barzel. Ulmandiyam b'cheskus Yorshei Abal, and even according to the Shita that holds it goes to the Yorshei Abal, it's also the same Kasha. Amaylo tani labadi Ksuba. You would divide it differently, but it should still be divided into only two halachos. It should have said that the Nichsei Tzon Barzel and the Ksuba go to the Yorshei Abal, and the Nichsei Melug go to the Yorshei Isha. Why divide it into three separate halachos and have this vague terminology to describe the Nichsei Tzon Barzel? So it says, Tosos v'ikal l'meimadul shavu b'tamayu k'debrish b'samach. We're going to see that although it's true that nechassim b'cheskasan might mean either the Yorshei Abal or the Yorshei Isha, in which case it's the same halacha as one of the other halachas in the Mishnah, as one of the other cases in the Mishnah, it's the same halacha, but it's a different reason. And since it's a different reason, the Mishnah divides it up into different bavos, into different statements in the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't want to put it all together as one statement, because putting it all together in one statement gives the impression that it's all the same reason. And that's the Mishnah's way of hinting that there are different factors at work over here that award the possessions to different people. And it's not all directly the same reason. So in Achinami, it may be the same halacha as one of the other cases in the Mishnah, but it's not the same reason, and therefore it's not going to be put together in the same statement, in the same bava, in the Mishnah. Fine. Next Tosos is also very interesting. Tosos Beis Hillel Amar Nechassim B'cheskasan. Frek Tosos Kasha L'ri. Maishna Dahacha Amar Nechasim Becheska's son. Why over here does it say that Nechasim Becheska's son? Umefarish Begemara, the Gemara explains Becheska's Yorshe Ha'isha. The Gemara explains that Becheska's son means the Chazaka of the Yorshe Ha'isha. V'ilu B'seifa Tanan, meaning at least according to one shita, that when Beis Hillel says Becheska's son means Becheska's Yorshe Ha'isha. V'ilu B'seifa Tanan, and yet in the Mishnah we're going to have later on Amud Beis, it says, Nafal habayis alav v'al imo, that if a house falls in on a man and his mother, not a man and his wife, but a man and his mother, elu ve'elu modim she'achloku, all of a sudden everybody's going to agree, even Beis Hillel agrees, she'achloku, that it gets split. V'amai, havle l'memer k'mo hasam nechasam b'cheskos son, dayinu b'cheskos yosheim, k'dipirish b'gemara. Why should that case be any different than this case? If over here we're going to say nechasam is b'cheskos yoshei ha'isha, why over there don't we say the nechasam b'cheskos yoshei ha'im? It's the same exact halacha. We don't know who died first. So whatever the nechse tzon barzel are for the isha, they should be the same. The same halacha should be true for the mother. So why do we assume over there that elu ve'elu modim, that everyone's going to agree achloku in that case, and not award it to the mother, or to the mother's family rather? So v'tire, it says the Tosos, the Ri was mitaretz, dahai tana sfira le Yerushas habal d'rabbanan. This Tana holds that Yerushas habal, and the husband's ability to yarshin his wife, is only din d'rabbanan. Ulekach lo havi ele b'cheskos yorshei ha'isha. And that's why the Yorshei Ha'isha are considered more muchzuk in it. Because although it's a suffix, does the husband yarshin, does the husband not yarshin, but that's only a suffix on a din drabbanan. Midrabbanan, he yarshins. Midaraisa, he wouldn't yarshin at all. And therefore, the Yorshei Ha'isha are considered to be more muchzakos in it than the Yorshei Ha'bal. So that's why it's different when you're dealing with a husband-wife relationship versus a mother-son relationship. A son yarshins a mother midaraisa. A husband yarshins a wife only midrabanan. So when it comes to the son yarshining the mother, and it's a suffix who died first, who yarshins who, so it's a suffix who died first, so that's where everyone's going to agree yachloku. But over here, when it's a husband-wife, where the husband's claim to the possessions, to the nechasim, are not that strong, because the whole din of a husband yarshining is only din drabanan in the first place, therefore we're going to say, it's becheskas, the yarshe ha'isha. That's if you hold Yerushas HaBaal as drabanan. Says Tosfos, but even if you don't hold it as drabanan, there's still room to argue that there should be a chilek. V'afilu sfir le'nami d'oraisa, even if you hold Yerushas HaBaal is really a din d'oraisa, is not a din d'rabanan, yesh l'chalek v'lomar, we could still distinguish and say as follows. Kivan d'Yerushas HaBaal eino mishum kurva havei b'cheskos ha'isha. The husband's Yerusha of his wife is not a din in kurva, it's not a din in being a blood relative. And therefore, it's considered more becheskas ha'isha. Aval gabi nafal abayis alavi al imo, havinami becheskas ha'ben mishum kurva. But when it's a ben and an aim, the relationship is one of kurva, and therefore it's considered to be equally muchzakos to both the ben and the aim. When the relationship is not one of kurva, so then it's considered to be in becheskas the one last one who really owned it, because there's no relationship of kurva. So the yerusha, even if it is daoraisa, is not quite as strong as a yerusha that works midine kurva. Fine. Second answer of Tosfos. So again, the kasha was why is cheskas ha'isha different, any different than cheskas ha'im in the Mishnah Amud Beis? Now, why over here do we say by the Baal and the Isha we say that it's becheskas the Isha, the Yorshei Isha, according to one sheet at least, and in Amud Beis we're going to say that yachloku, that everyone's going to agree yachloku. So the first answer of the Ri was that for some reason the chazaka of the mother is going to be a weaker chazaka rather than the chazaka of the isha, either because the Baal doesn't yarshin midaraisa, or even if he does yarshin daraisa, it's not midine kurva. Second answer of Tosfos on the second very wide line. Viriti rates degabe abal yeshlach shuv yosur becheskos isha. In regards to a husband, the nechasim are considered more muchzak by the yorshe isha. Lefisha kamosha derech the isha mesa kodem bal lekach derech abal lamas kodem isha v'lo yirushena ve'in zaparanos ulekach lo sam chaday tekulehai. To what extent can a husband expect to inherit his wife, or a wife expect to inherit the husband? So it's 50-50. pretty much the husband and the wife, one dies before the other. It's not unnatural for a husband to die before a wife. It's not unnatural for a wife to die before a husband. There's therefore no smichas das on ever being able to receive any of those Yerushos in one direction or the other, because it happens both ways. Sometimes one dies before the other. It's just that's the way of the world. It's not abnormal in any way. But when it comes to a son and a mother, if a son dies before a mother, rachmana litzlan, that's a terrible thing. That's a peranos. That's not the derech ha'olam. It's not the normal way of the world. Lahachi takinu hacha gabe nafla bayis alava alimo sheyiu b'cheskaso lefi shehu asid v'ome lirashasimo yosim mashu shehu asid abal lirashasishto. That's why we're going to assume it's more considered becheskas, the son, than a typical case of a husband and wife is considered becheskas the baal. Because when you're dealing with a son and a mother, the son can reasonably expect to yarshin his mother. Because barring any sort of pranus, the son would yarshin the mother. So since the son can reasonably expect to yarshin the mother, he's considered more of a muchzak than a husband would be in the Isha's Nechasin. Because the husband can't really so reasonably expect, I mean, he can reasonably expect, but he can reasonably think he might, but he can't expect, it can't be an expectation that it's going to happen, that he's going to yarshin his wife, because it's 50-50 whether he yarshins his wife. So why is it that the Yarshei Isha have a greater chazaka in regards to an Isha and her husband than the Yarshei Aim have in regards to a mother and child? Because the Yarshei Isha have less of a chance, because the Isha, there's less of a chance that the husband's going to yarshin an Isha than there is that a Ben is going to yarshin an Aim. That's the Derech HaOlam for a Ben to yarshin an Aim. It's not necessarily the Derech HaOlam for a husband to yarshin the Isha. Fine, that's the second Eretz of Tosfos. Let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, as promised, Becheskas mi, right? You spoke about these Nichsei Tzom Barzel in the Mishnah, and Beisil said Nichsei Tzom Barzel are Becheskas son. But what does that mean? Who's Chazaka? Rabbi Yochanan Becheskas Yarshei Baal. So Rabbi Yochanan says it means the husband's Yarshim. Rabbi Lazar Omer Becheskas Yarshei Ha'isha. And Rabbi Lazar says it's the Becheskas Yarshei Isha. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Mishumbar Kapara Amar Yachloku. Rabbi Shimon Lakshmi Shem Bar Kapara says, "Nah, you split it." V'chein Tani Bar Kapara Hol V'alol Ba'al Nirish V'alol Ba'al Nirish Yechloku. Since everyone's coming to try to get a piece of it, everyone's coming to try to yarshin, so you split it. Meaning, that's what Beishamai said. Right? Beishamai said Yechloku, but we're saying Beisil is saying, you're only right in the Nichsei Tzom Barzel. The Nichsei Malug and everything else is not going to be Yechloku, right? That but at least on the din of Nichsei Tzom Barzel, Beisil is going to be moded to Beishamai, that at least that Yechloku, at least that you would split. So all those kashas of Tosfos and Amud Aleph were, you know, the top Tosfos was either assuming like one of the first two deos. I mean, according to the third day Yechloku, when Tosfos asked, why don't we put it together with one of the other halachos? Well, we then understand very well why it wouldn't be put together with one of the other halachos according to this third deya, because it's a totally separate halacha. The three nechasim, the three types of nechasim, would have three totally separate halachos according to this third deya. There would be Yachloku, there would be Yarshei Baal, and there would be Yarshei Isha, depending on which nechasim you're talking about. So you can't put any two together. And within the second Tosfos, the whole Tosfos was only within the Shita, that is Becheskas Yarshei Ha'isha, right? So that would be fine, both according, that Kasha would not be a Kasha, both according to Rabbi Yochanan, and according to Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara. Fine, says the Mishnah. New Mishnah. Nafla bayis alav v'alima. Let's say a house falls in on a guy and on his mother. Right, this is the Mishnah we were just referring to. Elu ve'elu modin sheyachloku. Well then, everyone is going to agree that you split it. Both Beishamai and the Beis Hillel would agree that it's yachloku. Meaning even Beis Hillel is not going to be any more creative than that. Amr Rabbi Akiva, moda ani bazu shenechasim b'cheskasan. Rabbi Akiva says, you know, I think, I'm moda in this case, that the nechasim are b'cheskasan. What does it mean, I'm moda? Who are you moda to? Beisham and Beis Hillel were both moda against you, right? They both said yachloku. So who are you moda? What do you mean? I'm moda sounds like I agree, even though I disagree in other cases. In this case, I agree with one of the other shitos. He's not agreeing with anybody over here. He's going against everybody. So the Rashbam points out that the lashon of moda is somewhat imprecise over here. But mishum denaka tanakama lishna demodim Amar ihunami moda ani. Even though the moda ani doesn't really make sense over here, but since when we spoke about the shitos of Beisham and Beisil, we said elu ve'elu modin sheyach loku. So for parallel's sake, we use the lashon of moda in regards to Rabbi Kiva as well. Kolomer va'ani moda v'cholik alecha. He says I'm moda to disagree with you. He says, I think that Beis Hillel would insist over here in Nechasim Mechaskasam. That's an important line in the Rashbam. When he says, is it a three-way machlokas? Or is, meaning is Rabbi Kiva arguing on both Beisham and Beis Hillel? Or is Rabbi Kiva reinterpreting one of their opinions? So the Rashbam understands that Rabbi Kiva is saying, no, you the Tanakhama, reported Beis Hillel incorrectly. You said that Beis Hillel holds like the Beis Shammai, that Yachloku over here, I would say, says Rabbi Akiva, that the same Machlokas we had in the last Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would also be in this Mishnah. That Beis Shammai would say Yachloku and Beis Hillel would say, no, Nechasim Bechaskasan. Amrlo Ben Azai, so Ben Azai says to Rabbi Akiva, you know, it's rare enough that we can get Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on the same page. We hate Machlokas. We don't like having to deal with Machlokas. Finally, we have someone who's willing to say Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree about something. Meaning the cases where they definitely argue, that's difficult enough to deal with. That's enough of a pain to have to deal with. Now you're going to come and take cases where they agree and tell us that they argue? Come on, give us a break already. Let there be one case where they could actually agree with each other. It's a very strange comment. What in the world is he talking about? Well, what's the problem with them disagreeing with each other? Why is it such trouble for the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel to disagree? Pashtus is he's referring to what the Rambam talks about in the Hakdamah to the Perush Mishnayos, where the Rambam tries to figure out if we really have a strong Nesora, how did Machlokas ever develop? And the Rambam points out that the cracks, not cracks in the Masorah, but the beginnings of Machlokas with Shammai and Hillel were actually in very, very few cases. But the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel started to, the Machlokasim started to develop in much stronger ways when Lo Shimshu es Rabbim Kol Tzarkom, and they didn't pay careful enough attention to the Rebbeim, so they developed different perspectives on things, and the Machlokasim became much, much greater. But it's a difficult thing to deal with in terms of the Masorah, of how we can trust a Masorah that has so many Machlokasim that crept in. I mean, how do we know that anything is right? So the Rambam goes out of his way to say, no, we do know that these machlokasim are different perspectives on things, but there are certain parts of our Masorah that are rock solid to prove that our Masorah is correct, that our whole Masorah of Torah Misina and everything else is correct. Because and the greatest riot is that there are certain parts of our Masorah that no machlokas could ever creep into. Such as, Rambam says, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. You never have Machlokas in Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and that gives you confidence in the overall strength of our Masorah. But maybe that's what he's referring to. That we're mitzayir on the chaluk, we're mitzayir on the fact that there were these cracks in machlokas along the way. Why maximize the machlokas? We want to minimize the machlokas as much as possible. Now, what does it mean over here? Nechasim b'ches kasan. Rabbi Akiva says nechasim b'ches kasan. So says Tosos, ein lefarish k'mosh pirush Rashi b'metziah perak hamafkid. Rabbi Akiva shemutei hava mitalmid Beis Shammai. He says, don't say like Rashi says that Rabbi Akiva was from the talmid Beis Shammai, and that's why the lashon of moda appears over here. Right, says Rashbam said Moda, that's just parallel sake. The first part of the Mishnah said Moda. So it says Moda, so it says Moda by Rabbi Akiva as well. Says Rashi himself, but Matziah, no, you know why it says Moda? Because Rabbi Akiva was really from the Talmid Beis Shammai. And the Talmid Beis Shammai generally held that Yachloku. So Rabbi Akiva says, Moda ani bazu, I from the Talmid Beis Shammai would agree in this case. That Nechasim Cheskasan, that it's not going to be Yachloku. I'm going to go against what the Beis Shammai said in the previous Mishnah. So that's the Lashon Moda, because Rabbi Akiva from the Talmid Beis Shammai says Tosfos that's totally incorrect. Rabbi Akiva could not have been from the Talmid Beis Shammai. And notice how he uses the lashon Rabbi Akiva Shamute Hava. That lashon of Shamute, we say it by who? Rabbi Elazar is the one we say Shamute Hava. So it's a machlokas Rishonim what Shamute means about Rabbi Elazar. Pashpshad is it means he was from Talmid Beshamai. But the Rishonim say no. Shamute means that he was put in cherim because Bab Mitzia Nun Tes with Tanush Halachnai that he was put in cherim. But either way, or in this context, certainly means Talmid Beshamai. But says Tosfos it's incorrect. Rabbi Akiva was not from the Talmid Beshamai. Da Alach Kamosu Mechavero. Because we paskin like Rabbi Akiva against other shitos. If Rabbi Akiva is from the Talmid Beshamai, we never paskin like him. Just like we don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar. Furthermore, we find Rabbi Akiva argues on the Beis Shammai. If Rabbi Akiva was from the Talmid Beis Shammai, we wouldn't find that he argues on the Beis Shammai. But he does! Va'on my basal on the Chalikas of Shavin, Halo Kivin de Beshame Moda Bahad in the Chasim Chaskasan, Kolshkin Besilal. Al Kain near the Farish Moda Ani Baze, Lamanda Mifarish Begumar Becheskas Yorshe Aim, Havu Moda Ani Baze. That according to the one in the Gemara who says Becheskasan means Becheskas Yorshe Aim, Rabbi Akiva is saying Moda Ani Baze. Af al Gav de Svirlan Kabesilo, the Ksubavi Becheskas Yorshe Abal, even though we hold like Besilo that the Ksubas Becheskas Yorshe Abal, Ilu havi becheskas, Elu havi becheskas ha'aim. This over here is becheskas ha'aim. Ulmandam becheskas yorshe ben havi moda ani bazeh. And the shita that holds that becheskasan means becheskas yorshe ben would say the moda means afal gav de nichse melug havi becheskas yorshe isha. Meaning, notice that when Rabbi Akiva says Moda ani bezusha nechasim becheskasan, he does not distinguish between three different kinds of nechasim, between nechse sombarzel, nechse melug, and ksuba. So he's talking across the board. So there's some level of hoda'a by one of those categories. Since by each category there was a different halacha of who it belongs to, and Rabbi Akiva comes and says Modani Bazeh, he's saying by at least one of these categories, I'm Moda that over here it should be Becheskasan, Becheskas somebody else, as opposed to in the last Mishnah where we divided up into the three different categories of Nechasim. Okay, says the Gemara Becheskas me. Who is it in the Chazaka of? Rabbi Ila Amar Becheskas Yorshe Aim. Rabbi Ila says the Yorshe Aim. Rabbi Zeir Amar Becheskas Yorshe Ben. It's Becheskas the Yorshim of the son. Ki Salak Rabbi Zeir Kam B'Shitase Rabbi Ila. When Rabbi Zeir went to Eretz Yisrael, he changed his mind and took on the Shita of Rabbi Ila that it's Becheskas Yorshe Aim. Amar Rabbi Zeir Shma Mina Aviru Eretz Yisrael Machkim. He says, you know why I took on the sheet of Rabbi Ila when I went to Eretz Yisrael? It's because I got smarter when I went to Eretz Yisrael. The Aviru Eretz Yisrael is Machkim, causes a person to become smarter. So I saw the light, and that's why I took on that sheet. V'taima Mai. But what taka is the reason for saying that it's Becheskas Yarshia Aim? Why should it be Becheskas Yarshia Aim? Amar Abai Hol V'chuchska Nachla Ba'usu Shevet. Since it's already in the shevet of the mother, so we don't want to remove it from that shevet, and therefore the Yarshia Aim receive it as opposed to the Yarshia Baal, who would be removing it from the shevet, because again, this money came from her father, which was her shevet. Amrlo ben Azay al Chalukadon Mitztarin, Amra Bisimlai, Ada Amra, Ben Azay Talmud Chavar de Rikiva Hava. Ben Azay was the Talmud Chavar of Rabbi Akiva, the Kamalei Shabbasa. Because notice he didn't speak to him in third person, he spoke to him in second person. He said Shabbasa, he didn't say Shabbat Mar. Right? He says, when you came, so that's that you're coming to be Cholik. So you see that Ben Azay must have been a Talmud Chavar of Rabbi Akiva and not just a pure Talmud. Just on the idea of Avir Dar Sol Machim, the Marik points out in Shorish Pei Dalid, that one might think if Avir Dar Sol Machim, that should be a Klal and Halacha, that when you have a Machlokas Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi, that the Halacha should be like the Yerushalmi because it's Eretz Yisrael. Avir Dar Sol Machim. So the Marik points out that no, we pass like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi, even though Avir Deretz Sol Machkim, because there's a different klal in Halacha that plays a role over here, and that is the klal that Hilchsa Kibasra'a, the assumption, the riff at the end of Erevin has, is that the Talmud Bavli, the Amoraim of Talmud Bavli, saw and knew everything it said in Talmud Yerushalmi, and then they formulated their own opinions. So if they formulated their own opinions based on everything that it already said in Talmud Yerushalmi, so then you can understand that they are Basra'a, that they saw everything and they had more educated opinions, and therefore we would paskin like the Talmud Bavli, just like we paskin like Abaye and Rava over the earlier Amoraim, because they knew what the earlier Amoraim said, and we just like we paskin like the Rambam and Rashi against all the Gaonim very often. Because the later generations, we assume, saw everything that appeared in the earlier generations, and therefore they're the midgets standing on the shoulders of giants, and Hilchsa Kibasra. That's the klal of Hilchsa Kibasra. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll try to finish up the perek tomorrow. I'm going to start on time tomorrow, no matter what. So, just to